Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word, the scriptures. Please, as we meet together, work in our hearts so that we would receive from you what you've given us in Jesus' words. Teach us, correct us, rebuke us, and train us that we might be thoroughly equipped to love him and live for him in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 46 in our passage today. Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my word and puts them into practice, I will show you what they're like. They're like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock." These are very striking words of Jesus, aren't they? If anyone else said them, we'd say, "How arrogant this person is. Look how me-centered it is on Jesus. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they're like." How arrogant, we'd say, wouldn't we? And here Jesus is standing in front of the crowd on this flat place, teaching them and saying, "It's me. I am the foundation for your life. It's me. Listen to me and my words, and I am the one who will give you a life that lasts. My words are what matters." This is a very striking thing for Jesus to be doing. Now, we know now, as we look back, that Jesus is the Son of God, and that he showed that through all he did and said. We know that he's the Saviour. He died on the cross for our sins, in our place. We know that he's risen from dead. He's the living Lord, and as Lord, expects and deserves our obedience. So for us, it's no surprise to hear these words, and we can see why he is such a foundation, and why his claims are true. Why, if our hearts are set on him, then out of them will come good things. So it's no surprise for us. But back then, it would have been quite a shock as they heard it. But even if it is no surprise for us, I wonder if an alien were to come down and hover above us in his little flying saucer, and turn on his scanners and look at our life, your life, my life, I wonder what he'd see. Would he see a life that shows evidence that Jesus' words are the foundation and Jesus is the one who rules our hearts? Would he be able to look at you and say, "Her life is built on Jesus. His life shows Jesus in all sorts of ways"? What would the alien see? Does it matter? Look at verse 49, the last verse in our reading. Jesus said, "But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete." Jesus is being very clear. It really matters. It really matters. So let's dig deeper, just like this person in his story did. Let's dig deeper. Let's allow Jesus' word to do three things to us this morning. To inspect us, to test what we're like. To instruct us so that we learn from it. And to inspire us so that we're fired up to live for him. Jesus is here speaking on the plain. This is called the Sermon on the Plain. And it began, just back one page, Luke 6, verse 17. Jesus, he went down with them, his disciples, and stood on a level place. A large crowd was there, a great number of people, and he began to teach and heal diseases. So he's on a flat place, he's teaching. The Sermon on the Mount you might have heard of. The Sermon on the Plain isn't as famous. The Sermon on the Mount was another sermon on another occasion that Matthew records. And some of the teaching is similar between the two of them. And his theme here on the plain is that discipleship makes a difference. If you're someone who claims to be a disciple of Jesus, wants to be a disciple of Jesus, i.e. Someone who wants to follow Jesus and trust in him, then that's going to make a difference to our lives. And we saw right back at the start, when we started a few weeks ago, that comfort, we could say, wave goodbye to comfort as a disciple. Verse 20 and onwards, we could expect, or they could expect, certainly, following Jesus then, and there's something of it in our lives as well. We could expect to be poor, or hungry, or weeping, to be hated, because of Jesus and the difference he makes. And if we found ourselves rich or well-fed or laughing and well-loved by everybody, then maybe we weren't publicly following him. And we found also that there'd be a radically new attitude to the way we thought about other people and ourselves. Loving enemies instead of hating them, despising them. Not being judgmental. Looking at our own selves and being very self-conscious of our sin before God, and not just complaining about other people. It's discipleship that makes a difference. And he finishes this sermon with fruit and foundations. Two images he brings to them to round it all off and help them think. Life is not about being judgmental. It's about being discerning. He said don't be judgmental, but he's saying do be discerning. Suppose somebody was at my door waving a knife madly at me. Now, it would be wrong for me to be judgmental. My attitude shouldn't be, oh, this kind of person could never know Jesus. It would be an appalling thing to tell them about Jesus. That would be judgmental. But I can be discerning. I can go, oh, I better leave the door shut and call the police. That's discerning instead of judgmental. And so Jesus calls on his followers not to be judgmental, but to be discerning, and to be discerning about their own lives. With these two pictures, the fruit tree and the foundations. The fruit tree, verses 43-45, he says that we can discern a person's heart from their words and actions. In other words, you can see what's inside from what you can see on the outside. Verse 43, no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. What does he mean by a good tree? And what he goes on to tell us. Each tree is recognised by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. So if I wandered up to a lovely looking greeny thing and saw all grapes on it, then I'd know that was a good tree. Or a lovely fig hanging there, beautiful and yummy and tasty, that's a good tree. But if I go up and all I see are thorns and thistles, that's a bad tree, and I can tell from what I can see. And he says that's like our lives, like our hearts. Verse 45, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So he's talking about our lives and actions, but primarily, I suppose, he tells us, he's talking about what we say. And if you're listening to somebody and you hear them saying things, then you can tell what they're like. If there's someone you're talking to and they're effing and blinding, then you know that there's something in their heart that isn't right with God. Fruit, the fruit tree. And then there's foundations, verse 46 to the end of the chapter. Jesus is saying here with this picture that there's a huge impact to be had on our lives by Jesus and what he teaches. And if we put it into action, that makes a massive difference. Whereas just saying, Lord, Lord, and just knowing things about Jesus, of itself, it's worthless. So we can hear Jesus' teaching and read other things in the Bible. We can know that. And we can know about Jesus' death on the cross. And we can say, yeah, I believe that Jesus died on the cross to save us from sins. And we can get the evidence of the resurrection from the Bible and say, yeah, I can accept that evidence. But if that's as far as it goes, if it has no impact on our life, then it's worthless. It's a great picture, this, isn't it? And you've probably known this story, as it were, from your childhood, maybe, from Sunday school or from songs. I won't sing a song about... Well, we did earlier, didn't we? A new one about building on the rock. Here's one man, verse 48. And what's he like? Well, he's a man who built a house, who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. He takes time over this, doesn't he? He finds his place and... he digs down to find where the rock is, and he puts something there, a foundation, to build the house on so that it's sturdy and firm. I was once at another church where they had some building work done, and the church was built on a hill that was basically clay. And in order to do the building work, they're putting a gallery in. In order to do the gallery, they dug down deep with this drill and drilled out loads of clay to make columns where they sunk concrete and steel into the columns. Down deep to the rock underneath the clay, and then they could build the gallery. And this is what this man's done, isn't it? And when the storm comes, what happens? It's sure, solid, isn't it? When the flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it. It's unshakable because it's well built. And what's the other man like? Well, verse 49, he's the one who hears Jesus' words and doesn't put them into practice. He's like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. So he wanders up, he finds a nice spot, it looks over the river. That's pretty, let's build it there. Boom, just starts building. Doesn't worry about what's underneath. And when the flood comes, at the moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. We've seen the terrible pictures, haven't we, from the Caribbean and Florida recently. And a lot of people in Florida live in what they call trailer parks. We'd call them mobile home parks. And mobile homes rest on blocks of concrete just on the top of the ground. That's it. And when the storm hit those mobile homes, you've seen the pictures. They collapse and the destruction was complete. Terribly sad. So what is Jesus saying in this? He's saying this is telling us about what happens when we hear Jesus' words, when we trust in Jesus and the extent to which we make him centre in our lives. So let's see now what's going to happen if we let Jesus' words inspect us, instruct us and inspire us. First of all, inspection. Are you ready for an inspection? Sorry, any teachers, if that makes horrible things come to your mind. Let's use these words as a test. What are we like? Do we shape up? Here's the question. Is Jesus visible in your life? Is Jesus visible in your life beyond kind of religious acts like coming to church? What about your words? What did you say? You're sitting in your car, you're driving to go and buy some shopping, and someone took the last parking space right from in front of you, and they could see you were there. What did you say? Or you're at home and the builder rings up. It's going to be another week. What did you say? And how do you respond to trials? When things happen in your life, your employer hands you your notice. You had no idea it was coming. You haven't got a job. What do you say to God when you get home? What do you say to your friends? You go to the doctors. The doctor says the lump is serious. How do you respond to that? What does it do to your life? Is Jesus visible in the way we respond? Can we see from how we react to things, the things we say, that we've got a Lord and a Saviour? We've got one who reigns over the heavens. We've got one who's got a place for us, secure, beyond death even. And who even today is with us at all times and in all things. Is that visible? Maybe you're someone here who's not yet trusting in Jesus. And you've come along because you want to find out more. It's interesting, isn't it? The way that how we talk reveals what our hearts are like. It's surprising the mess that our hearts can be in. And you'll know that in the way that you talk sometimes, I'm sure. And how do you cope when things get tough? It's hard, isn't it? Life is often like a flood. Life feels often like a building that's collapsing. And in fact, when this inspection comes to us, when we look at our lives in the face of Jesus' words, we have to say all of us are found wanting. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and we say, I'm too often the other way. It's a good job Jesus came to seek and save the lost, isn't it, like us. So we let his word inspect us. Let's also let his word instruct us. Let's be disciples. Trusting him, let's learn from him. What's he got to say? And I think the question he's asking us, amongst others, with these passages is this. Will you put some energy into your relationship with Jesus? Will you put some energy into your relationship with Jesus? See, the fruit picture, the fruit trees, is saying, isn't it? Sort out your heart. Sort out your heart. It's great to be like that good person. And how do we do that? By getting our desires in line with Jesus's, so our hearts would be with him. And then the foundations. As Jesus is saying, dig deep. Be like this man who digs deep. Dig deep with Jesus. Dig deep with his word and what he says. Let's get our ways in line with him, our hearts in line with him, our ways in line with him. This is about faith. It's about a living faith, a living, saving faith. Now we know that the Bible tells us that that's how we're saved, by faith. And faith alone, not through works, not by doing things. And we can never earn what we need before God. Even if we do good things, sometimes that's tainted by our jealousy maybe, or other things in our hearts, pride. And we know that Jesus has actually done all we need to put us right with God, to give us that relationship with God and wipe away our sin. He's done all of that on the cross. So that's wonderful. We can turn to him by faith and receive that from him. But what does that faith look like? And it looks like more than just saying, yes, Jesus has died on the cross. Yes, Jesus is alive. Yes, he's Lord. It's more than that, because the devil believes that, doesn't he? And he's not saved. It's a bit like paracetamol. You can believe in paracetamol. Oh, I believe paracetamol is a great painkiller. But until you go and take paracetamol, it'll do nothing for your headache. You've actually got to take the pill. So what does faith look like? Jesus helps us here. Faith digs down deep and lays a foundation on the rock, Jesus. Faith hears Jesus' words and puts them into practice. Again, what does that look like? Well, we read on to chapter 7, and you see some great people in chapter 7. There's a centurion right away that we hear about another time. And his faith is visible, isn't it? He tells everybody through a messenger that Jesus doesn't even have to come to his house. He knows Jesus can heal his servant. And at the end of the chapter, there's a woman who, again, her faith is visible. She tells everybody, and they all hate her, really. She tells everybody, Jesus is brilliant. I know he saved me. And she does it by weeping over his feet and washing his feet publicly with her hair. Public faith, outwardly visible, showing that Jesus has transformed them. He's given them joy, a change of attitude. It's a living, saving faith. So think of Jill. Jill, made up person. Jill realised that the Bible on her bedside was not going to miraculously morph into her head on its own. So she decided to set her alarm 15 minutes earlier than usual in the morning and get up and sit on the edge of her bed and read her Bible and pray. She's got notes on her phone, on an app. And what has she found? Well, Jill has found it's made a huge difference. She feels like an extra breakfast is happening. She's been fed by God, as well as having her Krispies. And the way she thinks and feels has changed because of God at work in her, the work of God the Holy Spirit through his word. Jill. Think of Jack, another made-up person. Jack, he's a new Christian, and he wants to honour Jesus in his daily life. So Jack has changed the way he talks about people. Used to be a lot of gossip there, a lot of those other words that weren't very nice. And he's learnt a verse. It's a great verse from Philippians 4, verse 8. It goes like this. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So he's learnt that, and he's trying to do that. And do you know what he's found? He's found that his friends actually have noticed. And actually, they're more honest with him than they used to be, because he's not just going to gossip about them. And they share their thoughts with him and ask him things. They've asked him, why is he different? And he's even been able to bring one of them to church and tell them about Jesus. Jack and Jill have been putting a little bit of action into their faith in Jesus, haven't they? And you can see it in their lives. And that's a response to Jesus instructing us here in Luke. So we've been inspected. We've used these pictures as a test. We've been instructed and seen how we can put some effort, some energy into our faith in Jesus. And now let's be inspired. Let's get some inspiration. Because there are promises here. There are wonderful promises in what Jesus says. And the question here for us is this. Will you rejoice in how Jesus transforms your life? In the fruit picture, there's only one way to have a heart like this, isn't there? And that's with Jesus. And he promises it as we trust in him by the work of the Spirit to change our hearts. It's brilliant. In the foundations, verse 48, when the flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was well built. Wow! To have a life like that, what a promise! Jesus has two kinds of storm in view here as he talks about the torrent. First of all, the trials that come in our lives as we trust in Jesus. Remember he mentioned them, some of them, back at the beginning of the Sermon on the Plain, the poverty and the hunger that disciples would face, or being scorned by friends. So there's trials of this life, and I suppose that also includes the things that hit us because life is hard as well. That's one kind of storm that Jesus has in mind. And the other, I think, is the storm of God's judgment on the last day. When that comes, this person who's built their life on Jesus, trusting in him, listening to him and obeying him, that person will be unshakable by faith in Jesus. And in both cases, both now and on that last day, Jesus is the foundation. It's him who's at the centre of the promise. And some of you will already rejoice in that. You will know how in the trials and the storms that have come in this life, he's been there, right at the heart of you and helping you. And you've known how it's been different for you than it has for other people who don't know him. And you can rejoice in that already. Others, maybe yet to face big storms. Well, take it from other followers of Jesus. He's faithful. What he promises, he does. And that's no surprise, is it? It's no surprise that these verses should inspire us, because they're about having Jesus at the heart of our lives. Well, what could be better than that? How would that not benefit us? Digging deep, digging deeper than we already are with Jesus. Fruit and foundations. Well, maybe you're somebody who's investigating Jesus. Today's inspection, I hope, has shown you that the Lord examines our hearts, and we will be found to be fallen far short of him. We need something, don't we? We need Jesus' help. Today's instruction for you calls you to put your foundations on that rock that is Jesus and his teaching. And today's, I hope, inspiration for you is that offer of a changed heart, of an unshakable foundation with Jesus. We've got a Life Explored course coming up soon. Don't miss out if you haven't done it. Come along to that and hear some more. And if you are someone who trusts in Jesus, then today we have been inspected, haven't we? And or found wanting in some way. But we've been instructed and called to dig down deeper with Jesus in our lives. And I hope you've been inspired. What a friend we have in Jesus. What an unshakable foundation he is for our lives. Will you hear his call? Let's pray. Spend a moment or two in quiet, just reflecting on God's word. Maybe have that passage open in front of you. Read through it again. Just bringing our response to him in our hearts. Heavenly Father, we long for a good heart built on Jesus and his word. Now don't let us be like those who say, Lord, Lord, but don't do what you say. Help us hear your call. Help us dig deeper than we have before. And rejoice in these wonderful promises that you make to us. In Jesus' name, amen.